Awesome. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. Last week, we began to share with you a little bit of what happened at the end of last year and what we've been able to do. And I want to build on what we talked about last week and share with you another really exciting celebration for us. If you weren't here last week, we talked about the fact that as we walked through last year, we decided that rather than taking what was given above and beyond our budget and kind of putting it in a bank account somewhere, we decided that we were going to begin to give that out to other organizations that were impacting people locally, regionally, and around the world. And so last week we mentioned how we were able to give this gift of $10,000 to Link to continue helping people who were escaping from North Korea to be able to get established and to express our love and care for them. And then this week, I want to share with you that wasn't actually the only thing that we were able to do at the end of last year. The other thing that we were able to do is that we work with an organization called Paradigm Shift here at Hoboken Grace. And basically, that is an organization that is situated in South Africa, and what they do is they come alongside of individuals who don't have the ability to be able to provide for themselves and their families, and they train them in how to be able to start business. It's entrepreneurial training, and then along with that, they provide these individuals with microfinance loans in order to be able to get them up and running and get them to the point where they are self-sustaining and able to be able to care for themselves, for their families, and then often others around them as well. And so we've been working with them for several years now, and as we came to the end of last year and again looked at what God had given us, we decided that not only were we going to be able to give this gift to Link that we talked about last week, but we were also able to, this past month, write a check for $9,800 to Paradigm Shift, which we're super, super excited about. And to be able to continue that partnership, continue building into what they're doing there, and the stories that are coming out of that have been phenomenal as so many lives are being changed, as people are going from the point where they literally have nothing to where they're able to care for themselves in a self-sustaining way that's going to last for the rest of their lives, if not for generations to come. And so I just want to celebrate that and introduce you to that. Today, we're beginning this conversation, or we're continuing this conversation on our finances. And last week, we talked about this idea of examination and how we need to consistently be examining our hearts and our lives to see, okay, where am I, and what direction am I headed? What am I focused on? And one of the primary ways that we can begin to do that is this area of finances. And so we talked just briefly last week about how our finances can so often be a reflection of what we really care about. And so as we walk through today, I want to introduce you to, remind you of God's plan as it relates to our finances, and talk through kind of why we do that, why God is leading us in this direction, and what that means for our lives. Now, finances is not something that we talk about a lot here at Hoboken Grace. We don't talk about money all that often. As a matter of fact, at least in this setting, inside of Backstage Pass and a few of our other growth environments, you'll hear us mention it and walk through it in a little more depth. But on Sunday morning, as you walk in here, you're not going to hear much about money. As a matter of fact, the only thing that we say week after week is that John will stand up here and say, hey, listen, if you're giving through, or if you're worshiping through your giving today, you can just drop those in the black boxes at the back. We don't pass anything. It's not a significant part of our service in any way, shape, or form. And people will ask me why. You know, why don't you pass something? Why don't you talk about it more? And it's actually a really intentional decision that we've made as a church because of the mission that we have. You see, our goal is to be able to help people find their way back to God. And what we've realized is that as we're interacting with our community, as you're inviting your friends to be a part of this service, as people walk in here for the first time, one of the misconceptions that people have about God and about church is that it's all about money. And, well, you know, I don't go to church. They just want your money. And so from the very beginning, we were very intentional about breaking down that wall, about breaking down that barrier. And so inside of our services, we have that for those who understand this idea of tithing and this path that God is leading us down. But we don't talk about it a lot inside the service, so that if you invite your friend for the first time, they can understand that this isn't a journey that is about money. This is a journey about our hearts and what God wants to do in our hearts. And understand that God is pursuing them, not because he wants money or needs money, but because he wants them. And so we've been very, very intentional about that. And some of you are here today and you're like, man, I invited my friend. They finally came for the first time. And now you're talking about, I'm sorry. But the problem with that is just this. You're a holistic being. That means that every aspect of your life affects every other aspect of your life. There is no, and we like to compartmentalize our lives and think that, okay, I can do this over here and it's not going to affect me over here. Or I can compromise over here and it's not going to affect me over here, but that's not true. Whatever you do in any area of your life is going to affect every single other area of your life. And so what's happening in your life financially is going to directly impact your life spiritually. What's happening in your life financially is going to directly impact, actually, your life physically. You are a holistic being. And so what can happen because of the fact that we don't talk about it a lot in this setting is that we'll miss out on how God is leading us in this way. And as such, it can lead us to the point where it has incredibly negative effects on our spiritual life, on every area of who we are as individuals. And so today what I want to do is I want to walk us through this and begin to introduce you to what God has to say about this area of finances and the path that he's beginning to lay out for us and why he's beginning to lay that out. And I think the why is really, really important, because it's really important for you to know that God does not need your money. It's really, really important for you to know that as he's leading you through this, that this is not about money. It's not about the fact that he needs you to be able to provide for what he's doing. It's not about the fact that he needs you to give to him. He doesn't need anything from you. As a matter of fact, the church doesn't need for you to give your money. I believe that when you look at what God's word says, God provides for the church. Now, he uses people to do that. He works through people to do that. But he doesn't need your money. It's not what this is about. And as you look at God's word and as you look at how God leads us forward as our Father, I think you see this really, really clearly. And it's really important that we understand what it is about. Because as you walk down this road, you need to know that this is about your heart. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:19-21. It says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." This is about your heart. And there's two principles at play here when you look at your finances and your heart. The first one has to do with what we talked about last week in this idea of examination. And so when you look at your finances, you learn a lot about your heart. You learn about what matters most to you. Because where you see you spending your treasures is going to reflect to you what you really care about. That's why this is one of those crucial areas where we can examine our hearts, examine our lives. But the other principle at play here is not just that it's a reflection of our heart, but it's actually a tool in guiding our heart. It's actually a tool in how we can begin to address where we want our heart to be pointed. I have a friend who loves investing, and I think he's a perfect picture of this, because he's one of these guys. He calls it investing. I think he just likes gambling. Right? But I think his wife wouldn't let him gamble, so therefore he just decided to invest in really, really risky stocks. And so what he loves to do is he loves to find these companies that nobody's ever heard of and do all this research to figure out, okay, what's the next big explosion on the stock market? And then he pours a bunch of money into these companies, and then he just kind of rides it. And so you'll meet him some days and he'll be super excited about life. This is great. And the other days, like, he's just like crying on your shoulder. You're like, dude, this is uncomfortable. Like, but he just is on this roller coaster all the time. And the interesting thing is he'll find this company. He doesn't care about this company at all, right? Never heard of them. He's never met any of the people who run this company. He has no emotional attachment to this company at all. And then he will invest in this company. And then all of a sudden, he loves that company. Right? I mean, he is deeply in love with that company and their leadership and where they're headed. Right? Why? Because your heart not only is a reflection of where you've invested, but is linked to that investment. And so as you look at this principle, you understand that not only does this show me where I am, but it also gives me a tool in where I'm going to go. It gives me a tool in directing, okay, where do I want my heart to go? And so for God, this conversation about finances, this isn't about money. It's about your heart. And what he realizes is that your treasures have the ability to be able to lead or to guide your heart. And therefore, he wants to, in your life and in my life, begin to move into our lives and lead us financially in such a way that it guides our hearts toward him. That it guides our hearts towards that which is most valuable. Towards that which matters most. And so there's a couple things that he wants to do inside your heart. And as you begin to see how he lays out this path, there are a few things that you begin to see happen. The first thing is that he wants to be able to rip out the idol of money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." So the reason God is going to give you and we're going to talk about the path here in a little bit. The reason that he gives you the path that he gives you is because he understands, okay, this is going to determine the direction of your heart, and I want to make sure that I rip out the idol of money. I want to make sure that in your life you don't fall into the trap of believing that money will satisfy you, of believing that money will make you happy. I want to make sure you don't go down the path that he's talking about with these people in this passage. And this is really important, and I love this passage for this reason, because sometimes when it comes to this idea of our finances and following God in our finances, we look at it as if God is calling us to sacrifice in our finances. Yeah, that God is somehow calling me to give up something in my finances, to suffer for him in my finances by the way that I give to him, by the way that I give to others. But if you read this passage, you realize that that's not actually true. There are times in our life when God is calling us to suffer. This is not one of those situations. In this situation, he's calling you down a path in order to avoid suffering. And so he says, listen, if you allow money to become your God, if you begin to worship money, it's going to lead you down a path that is filled with sorrow. And so as he moves into your life and my life, he comes in and says, listen, I want to rip out this idol so that you don't experience that. I want to make sure that this isn't your story, that you're not pulled away, that you are not, in the way they said, pierced with many sorrows. He wants to begin to rip out that idol to make sure that what we're worshiping is worth worshiping. The second thing that he wants to do in your heart is he wants to undermine false security. Hebrews 13:5 says this, says, "Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." Now, the first couple of times I read this verse, it threw me a little bit. And even as I'm reading through Hebrews, when I come to it, every time I read it, it kind of throws me because it doesn't seem like the two go together. And so you read it, and it would have made sense to me if he said, "Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have." That would have made sense to me. Right? So, okay, I'm not going to love money. I'm just going to be satisfied. I need to be content. But he doesn't stop there. And then it would have made sense to me, too, if he said, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God will provide for you. That would have made sense. But that's not what he says either. He says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. How do the two go together? They don't if you don't understand that it's a conversation about your heart. Because in your life and in my life, God's saying, okay, listen, this thing of money can become an idol. And all of a sudden, you're going to believe that that's what makes you secure. You're going to build up this false sense of security because of money. Or the opposite can be true, where you think that you're not secure because you don't have money. And so he says, listen, don't allow that to happen. Your security is not found in money. Your security is not found in your finances. It's found in the fact that I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to leave you. It's about your heart. And he wants to make sure in your life and my life that we rip out that idol and that we don't fall into the trap of believing that what will make me secure or what makes me secure is my financial situation. Beyond that, he also wants to make sure in your life and in my life that we don't invest in things that don't matter. He wants to make sure that we eliminate wasted investment. Luke 12:16-21 says this. It says, then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all of my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. See, God wants to make sure that at the end of this, you haven't invested in something that doesn't matter. This is one of the reasons why we did what we did last year with our finances. It's one of the reasons why I'm sharing these celebration stories with you over the last week, because as a church, we decided that, okay, we have two choices. We can take what's given above and beyond our budget, and we can put it into this bank account, and we can begin to store it up. But based on this passage, we realized that there's a real danger in getting to the end of this and realizing that we have all this stored up, and then it ends tomorrow. And it's wasted. And I understand this is a complex conversation, right? This idea of eliminating wasted investment is a really, really complicated conversation. It's a conversation that we had to have amongst our trustees many, many times to look at, okay, well, what does it mean to be wise with what God's given us? This doesn't mean that we never have any kind of savings. This doesn't mean that we're not preparing for the future. I mean, even inside of God's Word, it talks about this idea of preparing for the future, right? Being a good steward. Proverbs 6:6-8 says this. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. And it's talking about the wisdom of the ant to be able to prepare for the winter times by gathering in these other times. And so you realize that it's a complicated conversation. And inside of that, there are all these little principles like this that God is giving us over and over again. The principle of avoiding debt and making sure that we don't become a slave to debt, that we don't in some way make decisions in our financial situation that will make us ineffective in the other areas of our lives. And Proverbs 22:7 says this. It says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Don't become a slave, right? Like in your life and in my life, God's, I understand that this conversation is more complicated than just, okay, don't hoard. But that's the thing that I want to make sure that we get today. Because I'd love to be able to sit up here in front of you and say, you know what, it's just kind of an A, B, C, D conversation. You just kind of walk through these points, put them in place, and then you're good to go. The truth is, I've heard that several times. But when I look at God's word and when I look at the scriptures, that's not what I see. What I see is a heavenly Father who's stepping into our situation and saying, okay, listen, this is going to be a complicated conversation, but you need to have it with me. Because I want to make sure and I want to lead you through the times when you need to look at avoiding debt. I want to lead you through those times when you need to look at storing up for the future. I want to lead you through the complication of this in order to make sure that at the end of it, you don't have wasted investment. In order to make sure at the end of it, you made the most of everything that I gave you. A couple months ago, we sat here and we talked about this as it relates to our talents and our time. Or the same thing is true of our treasures. You see, one day there's going to come a point where we look back and we realize what was temporary and what was eternal. And one day we're going to look back and evaluate, okay, what did I invest in? How many of you have seen Schindler's List? If you haven't seen it, I highly, highly suggest it. There's a scene in Schindler's List that's burnt into my mind for the rest of my life. It haunts me because it calls me back to this principle. And for those of you who haven't seen it, Schindler was a businessman in Nazi Germany as Hitler is beginning to destroy the Jews. And at first, he's completely consumed with himself, and he figures out that he can use the Jews in order to be able to make more money, and so he begins to bring them into his factory so that he can make more money. But then as the story begins to unfold, and as he begins to see what's happening inside of his country, and he begins to see what's happening to these people, all of a sudden his heart begins to change, and he begins to bring more and more of them into his factory and into what he's doing in order to be able to save them as opposed to simply making money. It gets to the point where he's actually losing all of his money in order to be able to save more and more and more of them. It's a phenomenal story. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are alive today because of this man. And it gets to the end and the war is over and he's having to get out of town because of the fact that once the army gets there, he's going to be in danger, even though he had done all this. And there's this scene where he's standing in front of all of these people whose lives he saved. And they're thanking him. And every single time I watch it, I just cry. Because you think at this moment he'd look at that and be so excited and be so proud, but that's not what happens. Because as he's standing here in front of them, he looks back at the car that he's about to drive off in, and he's talking to the person who's closest to him, and he says, "How many more could we have purchased with this car?" And he looks at the pin on his jacket and he says, "This could have been one more person. One more person could have been alive because if I just would have sold this pen." See, there's going to come a point in our lives when we realize that which is temporary and that which is eternal. And as God steps into your life, the financial aspect of who you are, he wants to make sure that you eliminate wasted investment. He wants to make sure that when you get to that day, that you're able to look back and say, "I invested in what mattered." I mean, the thing I love about what we've been able to do with Paradigm Shift and with Link is that one day we're going to have the opportunity to be able to be in heaven and to encounter people that you and I have never, ever, ever met before. And they'll look at you and say, you know what? I'm here because of what you invested in. And there will be those people whose eternity is different because of the fact that we decided to follow God with our finances. And on that day, we'll realize what was temporary and what was eternal. That's what God wants for you. You see, this is a heart issue. He wants to free your heart. This is about eternal investment. And then it's crucial that you understand this is a faith issue. This is a question of whether or not you believe God. Whether or not you're going to believe God. And if you've been around Hoboken Grace for a while, you've probably heard me say this before. There's a very big difference between believing in God and believing God. A lot of people believe in God. That doesn't change anything about how you live your life. Believing God is something very, very different. That changes all of how you live your life. This is a faith issue. Do you believe God? Listen, I want you to listen to these two passages. Philippians 4:18. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. The same God who has provided everything that I need is going to provide everything that you need. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-13. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those in need, to those who need them, they will thank God. You see, this is a question of faith. Do you believe him? Because in his word, both in both of these passages and then in countless other passages, he says that he's going to provide what you need. Now, I think it's really important that you step back and understand that he's not just talking about the future. He had promised this to you like several months ago. Right? That means that not only am I trusting him for what I need in the future, that means I'm trusting him for what I have right now. In other words, I'm believing him that I have what I need. I'm trusting him that I have what I need. And that as he calls me into this path of giving to him first, as he calls me down this path of saying, okay, God, I'm going to give to you first. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit, this idea of tithe and this idea of giving to him the first 10% of what he's given to me. As he calls you down this road, the question that you're asking is not whether or not you can make it. The question is, has he given you what you need? Or not? And for me, in my life, as I've encountered this idea and this passage and this concept that, okay, God is going to provide for you, sometimes what will happen in my life is that rather than really working through the heart issues that I have, I'll move into these situations and say, okay, I'm going to give so that God can give to me future, because I don't really have all that I need, but I'm going to give now so that God will give back to me so that I can finally get what I need. And sometimes this will even come into my life as it concerns specific idols. And so I'll realize, man, if I give to God that first 10%, then I'm not going to be able to get, you know, whatever it may be. You know, in your life, my life, there's a lot of different things that fill this void. Maybe I love golf, so maybe it's a golf club, right? So I'm going to give to God. I realize that means I'm not going to be able to get this golf club, but I'm trusting God that he's going to give to me so that I can get my golf club. Right? So I'm trusting him for the future that he's going to provide. So the idol is still there. But this idea that, okay, I'm going to trust him that I have what I need. Well, that means I have to work through some things. That means I have to begin to wrestle through why I think I need 100%. And not 90. And not only that, he says that he's going to give to you not just what you need, but he's going to give to you enough to be able to be generous. To not just give back to him, but to be generous to those around you. See, when I begin to walk down this path, then all of a sudden I have to begin to reevaluate, okay, what do I actually need? And what has become an idol? What do I actually believe will satisfy me? Where do I actually believe my security lies? And that's what God wants to do in your life. God wants to begin to work on our hearts. God wants to bring us to freedom in our hearts. The question is, will you trust him? And it begins with what I just talked about. It begins with this idea of a tithe. Tithe literally means 10%. It's this idea that you find in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Malachi 3:10 echoes it. He says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. As God steps into your life and my life, and he begins to lay out for us this path, as far as how we deal with finances in response to him, it begins with saying, okay, God, the first 10% of everything you give me is going back to you. And understanding, this is not about money. This is about my heart. And so I'm going to trust you that you've given me what I need in order to follow you. I'm going to trust you that you've given me what I need. And so I'm going to give to you. And that's the amazing thing about this. And when you begin to walk down this path and you begin to experience this, you realize that this is one of those areas in your life where you get to express your heart back to him. Because as God said, he doesn't want you to give out of pressure. He doesn't want you to give because you feel guilty. That's not what it's about. It's about responding to what he's given you. It's about being grateful for what you have. And so in your life and in my life, we have the opportunity to be able to say, God, I am so grateful for what you've done. I'm going to trust you in an area that is really difficult for me, and I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to display your glory. I'm going to declare your worth by what I give to you. Because I want to show you that my heart beats for you more than anything else, above all else. And allow him, as he leads you down this path, to begin to change your heart in ways that can only happen as you follow him with this area of your life. It's not about the money. God doesn't need your money. It's about loving him. It's about being grateful to him. It's about trusting him. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, I understand that this is a complicated conversation as it pertains to involving you in all the different decisions that we make financially. But yet at the same time, as we begin this journey, it's such a simple act of obedience. And Father, when we look at what you've done for us, when we look at how you've loved us, you've given us this simple way of being able to love you. And so, Father, today, as we come together and we see what you have for us in your word, we want to follow. We want to love you. And I pray for those who haven't yet begun to experience this, I pray for those who haven't yet begun to follow in this, that they would take that step of faith, that they would trust you. I pray for those who maybe they have, but then they get caught back up and providing for themselves instead of trusting you to provide for them. And they got caught back up in an idol. And I pray that they would begin to work through this conversation with you, that this wouldn't be something that they look at as a rule that they have to follow, but that they begin to look at this as the outworking of their relationship with you. I pray for those who've been loving you like this for years, that they would be encouraged and built up, that they be called back again to the beauty of what this means in their relationship with you. And thank you for being our dad, for taking care of us, for watching out for us, for keeping us from those things that would pierce us with many sorrows. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.